Hello again and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. I'm Joe Greenwich, and as always, I'm joined this week by the head coach of one of St. Joseph's varsity athletic programs. Our guest has spent more than three decades on the water as a collegiate rower and coach. He has also served as a boatman for the U.S. national team at a pair of Olympic Games. Since coming to Hawk Hill, he has helped guide the men's rowing program to its first ever end-of-season top 20 ranking and consecutive trips to the IRA National Championships in 2017 and 2018. Our guest this week is St. Joseph's men's rowing head coach Mike Irwin. Coach Irwin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
How have things been? You know, you guys have finally gotten back on the water. You know, it's almost time to compete, and some sense of normalcy has returned. While nothing is normal, at least you have, you know, the team and some competition to think about. How has that felt for you and your group?
Good. Number one, right? It feels good to be doing what we do, what we've been, you know, sort of for the seniors, you know, training for multiple years. It's obviously and rightfully so a slow process, you know, from the start of the fall and not even being on the water for the first month and then finally getting out. And really, we're all about trying to get into, you know, good routines and good habits. And so the further we go, the more we're getting on the water, the more we've started to rebuild our fitness levels. You can just see people's, you know, the expressions just a little more joy, you know, even when we're pushing them really hard and they're tired and they're fatigued, there's a little more joy to what's happening because they're settling back into things that are familiar to them. You know, especially the older guys, the returning guys, you know, the freshmen are still figuring things out for the first time and that's okay. But yeah, it's been really nice. And you know, racing will be that next level, right? You know, how do we manage dealing with the unknown, racing again for the first time in 2 years, you know, when some of us have preconceived expectations of how it should go. And we don't know when every school out there is dealing with things the same way we are. So that's going to be the fun to the challenge.
When you first got started rowing, obviously you had to have picked up some sort of love of the sport. Does a challenge like this really like rekindle that? Does it take you back to that and think, you know, I've loved this, you know, for you and for your team, I've loved this for so long, and like to not have it for almost a year and to be able to come back, does it kind of rekindle that flame, or is it maybe a new appreciation that you didn't have before?
Joe, I would say the thing that rekindles the flame for me is just being around the guys, you know, being around the team on a regular basis, you know. And I started coaching as soon as I graduated from college in 1991. I became an assistant coach right away out of school. And so in some ways, I've never really, my wife likes to joke that I haven't really graduated from college, right? Every year I am working with, you know, a new set of undergrad guys, and it's, I keep getting older, but they're the same age. And so their energy always, you know, pushes me, renews me, rekindles that passion that I have for the sport. The challenge, obviously, every year we know there's going to be challenges that we could never plan on. It's injury, it's illness, it's weather on a race day, whatever the case may be. And certainly living through a pandemic is now one of those challenges. And so in a lot of ways, it's been part of our makeup, our team culture, to be flexible and adaptable to hit those challenges as they come through the year. We know they're going to come. We can't always see what they're going to be. What do we do when they happen? Are we going to kind of lose composure and unravel, or are we going to be like, okay, this is the challenge, and basically smile in the face of it and just keep on going? So that's the goal. And it's that, you know, combination of just the passion of the athletes and whatever the challenge is in front of us, that makes it fun. I don't, as you know, we get up early to practice in the morning on the river. And, you know, sure, some mornings I wake up tired, but I'm always eager to get to the boathouse.
So thinking about, you know, your love and affinity for rowing, what first got you started? Was it a family thing? Was it, you know, the school team was looking for people to join? Was there something you saw somewhere? What got you on the water for the first time?
Sure. This is my favorite recruiting question, right? When I talk to recruits, this is one of my very first get to know you questions. You know, who or what got you to the boathouse for the first time? My background in athletics as a young buck in Buffalo, New York, where I'm originally from, was ice hockey. So I played ice hockey, you know, we had the rink in the backyard, you know, out there pouring water on the snow and living through blizzards and all the fun stuff. And, but we moved from Buffalo to Detroit at the end of grade school for me. And there's a very sort of well-known rowing club in Buffalo called West Side Rowing Club. I always knew what it was. I knew what the sport was, but I was never involved in it. I would see it. We would drive by that club all the time when we would go visit my grandparents that lived in Canada at the time. And so we get to Detroit and I'm still playing ice hockey and now I'm in high school, and my high school had a high school hockey team, and it was the end of my sophomore year, and guys that I was on the team with are sitting in my biology class. I remember it vividly to this day. We're sitting in biology class. I'm sitting behind two of my teammates and they're telling these strange stories and they're looking at their hands as they're doing it. And they're showing each other their hands because they've got all these blisters and calluses on their hands because they've been rowing. And it's, you know, now it's, you know, late spring, early summer, and they would basically row through the summertime and then play hockey in the winter. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, oh, we're rowing for the Detroit Boat Club. And you know, you should come check it out. And that was my start. Like, it never occurred to me before that. No one in the, even though I had, one of my uncles had rowed in college, and, you know, again, we knew what it was. My parents knew what it was, but it was my hockey teammates that got me down to the boathouse. And I had my first race, I think less than 4 weeks from my literally getting into a boat for the first time. And it was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was, I was in this, you know, novice 8 race, and I must have hit my knuckles on the gunnels of the boat like 10 times. You know, I was like bruised and bloody, and, you know, we were just awful going down the race course. I think we were, you know, dead last, and I loved it. I loved it. It was awesome. Like, I'd always been around water growing up. I'd always lived around the Great Lakes. I loved being out there, and I've just never looked back. You know, how I got into coaching is a whole other story, but getting into rowing was easy. And so basically I was rowing in the summer and early fall. And then I was starting to play hockey, you know, again for the team in the afternoons and through the winter. And then the guys that were just rowing would start up again in the mornings, and I'd finish up hockey season and then join them again. You know, I hit a growth spurt in high school where I went, you know, all of a sudden up to 6'4", 6'5", and I was still only 165 pounds. So as far as a hockey player build goes, that's not really a great build. But for rowing, that was pretty good. And I realized pretty quickly that if I wanted to be an athlete in college, I could probably row in college. Hockey was going to be a lot harder, even though I really loved skating and being on the ice, that, you know, and there was something to it, that the team aspect of rowing that just drew me in. And once it gets its hooks in you, you know, for a lot of people that have been, you know, seduced by rowing, it never leaves you. And for me, it's never left me because I've been coaching, you know, from the moment I graduated from college.
That's exactly what Gary Quinlan said about rowing. It gets its hooks in you. I think he even used that same phrase. So once it got its hooks into you and you graduated from college, talk to us about your coaching career. Did you stay at your alma mater? Did you go elsewhere? What did you do to transition from rowing in the boat to coaching those who are rowing in the boat?
Sure. And I did stay at my alma mater, and really because my senior year of college, we had a new head coach come into the program. His name was Steve Fleur, and Steve had been coaching down at FIT in Florida. He was a graduate of FIT, came up to Trinity. Really, I was captain my senior year, really enjoyed working with him. And he had been an engineering major coming out of college, and I was an engineering major at Trinity. And he pulls me into his office in April of my senior year, and he's basically asking me, Mike, what's your plan? You know, where are you going to go to grad school? You got a job lined up, you know, what are you doing? And all I knew at that point was I wasn't going to go to grad school unless I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wasn't going to sort of take on more student loans and debt if I didn't know exactly what I wanted. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted. And so I was looking for jobs, and he just looks at me and he goes, "Well, have you ever thought about coaching?" And to that moment, the thought had never crossed my mind. And he basically said, "You know, my assistant coach is, he's not coming back next year. We need a new freshman coach, assistant coach. You know, and I'd really like to hire you. I'd really like you to stay here." And all I know is I walked out of the office, you know, thinking, okay, yeah, I can do that, you know, maybe for a year or two, and that'll help me figure out what the next step is. And after a year of coaching and working, you know, trying to verbalize to, you know, now new freshmen coming in, what rowing was to me and how to teach it. And I was then hooked on coaching, right? I really enjoyed it. And so pretty quickly I went from, hey, what is coaching, to I really enjoy coaching, to how do I get better at it? And what can I do? And then it was, what do I do in the summertime? Go work at camps or clinics and be around other coaches and see how they do things, and find some other mentors to move up the coaching ranks. You know, so I spent 4 years at my alma mater before I moved from Hartford, Connecticut, you know, where at Trinity, just down the road a ways to New Haven, and spent 7 years at Yale. And, you know, so it was 11 years total as an assistant coach, which were just great years, just learning from a lot of tremendous head coaches and getting involved in things like national team camps and things like that. And I've been able to travel the world and do things and go places all through rowing, which I never would have imagined when I first picked up an oar, you know, as a high school athlete. I never would have imagined how far and wide and how wonderful this trip would be.
You mentioned working with other coaches and, you know, being a part of groups that did all that traveling and all. Was there anyone in particular through those experiences that you think was a big inspiration for you? Maybe it was another coach, maybe it was one of your coaches, a teammate, a family member. Was there anyone that you drew inspiration from, maybe as an athlete or as you moved up the coaching ranks?
Well, a couple of thoughts come to mind. You know, one is on the family side, my uncle, my mom's side, he was a longtime basketball coach, high school basketball coach at Gonzaga down in DC. And he's my height, or if not taller. My mom always said, you know, you remind me of your Uncle Dick. And, you know, I just watched him, got to know him. There was certainly something about the way his passion for coaching, and he was an English teacher as well. And by the time he retired, they named the court after him. He was well known in the high school basketball circles. And so there was that. And then the people I worked for initially as an assistant coach, both Steve Fleur at Trinity and then Andy Card at Yale and Dave Vogel at Yale, when I worked with both the lightweights and then eventually with the heavyweights, just great mentors, people that sure, you know, you were an assistant and you had to do the things that assistants do, right? Do the grunt work, pay your dues, but they were completely open with conversations about training and team dynamics and all the things you would want. And over time, I felt like I was always treated like a peer, not an assistant. So there are people I, you know, still talk to this day, you know, maybe not as much as I'd like, but certainly those were big things for me. And as I sort of transitioned into head coaching, there were two other Mikes that were pretty pivotal in my career and my trajectory. One is Mike Vespoli, and Mike, owner, founder of Vespoli Racing Shells based in New Haven, Connecticut. He was a Yale coach. He was actually a St. Joe's prep coach at one time here in Philadelphia. Mike as a boat builder and former coach, someone I got to know when I was both at Trinity in New Haven. I learned how to repair boats at his shop. He taught me all these things just about the world of rowing. And he was someone I could always go to advice about making steps in my coaching career. And he would always, when I was at my years at Yale and he was, you know, right down the road at the shop. I mean, I actually worked for him in the mornings. One of my early years at Yale, I'd work in the shop repairing boats, and then I'd go coach in the afternoons at Yale, learning things from Mike just about the entire world of rowing was tremendous. The other Mike, who was a big influence, is a very familiar name to all the Hawks out there, and that's Mike Tatey. You know, Mike is one of our most recognizable alums, Olympian, Olympic coach, current Olympic coach, getting, you know, his squad ready for the Tokyo Olympics. Mike is someone I met in the mid to late 90s when I started helping out at the National Team Training Center in Princeton. And I was starting out just carrying gas cans and riding launches and taking notes and times. And I got to know Mike. And because I'd been working for Mike Vespoli, and I could repair boats and drive trailers and do all these things, I eventually became a boatman for the national team. And so just lots of launch rides and meetings with Mike Tatey. And he became another really great mentor about coaching trajectory and just career and how to go about things and training guys at an elite level. And, you know, eventually when I was hired here and took the job at St. Joe's, as you can imagine, I got a great note from Mike and a lot of encouragement and support from Mike in the process. So those are some people without question that I always go back to as just very pivotal in my coaching career. Without them, you know, just, I wouldn't be where I am without them.
Now, you may have just answered the first part of this question, having worked with a Hawk rowing legend, but what was your first exposure to St. Joseph's? When did you first become aware of Hawk Hill as an entity? And then what was it that drew your interest into coming here to lead the rowing program?
So as an athlete at Trinity, we would come to the Dadvale every year. The NESCAC schools at that time would all come down to the Dadvale. It doesn't happen that way now. There was a transition mid-90s when those New England schools were then going to a sort of a different area championship instead of continuing to come down to the Dadvale. So very familiar with Philadelphia, the Dadvale as an athlete and as a young coach when I was, you know, first being assistant coach and coming down, certainly knew St. Joe's and Temple and all the, you know, all the powerhouse teams here in Philadelphia, you know, that were part of the Dadvale. So I always knew what it was, but when I first got to Philadelphia, my first coaching job in Philadelphia was with the Pennsylvania Lightweights. And so I was head coach there for 7 years. And so starting to be on the river daily with all the other college programs and starting to kind of see the St. Joe's athletes up close on the river. And then eventually really getting to know Gary Quinlan because we were both our program's representatives at this meetings for the Schuylkill Navy. So the Schuylkill Navy is the organization of all the clubs and entities on the river. And Gary would represent Gillen Boat Club at the meetings. And I was representing the University of Pennsylvania at the meetings. And we ended up, you know, usually sitting next to each other in the meeting room at number 4 Boathouse Row. And so I started to get to sort of know and understand Gary. And he became someone that was really helpful to me when the job opened up and I was trying to learn more about what was going on here. I knew I could call Gary and have some really, you know, in-depth conversations about where the program was and where he saw it going and, you know, all those things. So, you know, St. Joe's has always been something I've known for a long period of time. And I've certainly known the fact that, you know, the St. Joe's alumni, especially so many of them are still in Philly or in the Philly area. They're rowing out of the different clubs on Boathouse Row. So when I first got to Penn, I was a member at Vesper Boat Club because I was coaching the seniors there. And so I got to know different alums from the school. So it's sort of been this gradual buildup of knowledge until the time I arrived here as a coach, right? And so, you know, to me, you know, it's just always been a tremendous program. And then, you know, they built the new facility in 2002, right when I sort of came to start with the Penn Lightweights. And so, you know, very jealous that they had a boathouse that was, you know, the beacon on all of the river, the newest sort of largest, best set up facility. So yeah, so many great things that attracted me to the school.
Well, now you get to work in that boathouse. sitting in that boathouse right now, talking to us.
That's right. I'm in my office right now.
What does it mean to you to be a part of the Hawk family, both part of the Hawk rowing family and St. Joseph's in general?
The family part, you know, to me is a big thing. And it was certainly something at Trinity, a Division III NESCAC school. The athletic department, the coaches, the other head coaches, the assistant coaches, the athletic director, such a, only about 2,000 undergraduate students, it very family feel oriented department. And that was tremendous for me as a young coach. And I looked at St. Joe's as it's a Division I school, but you know, the Jesuit influence, not being a school that is state school, 40,000 undergrad, you know, there was, I knew that there was a family environment that was just the better fit for me, you know, feeling like I know myself well enough to know what environment I think I could be successful in. And I have to tell you, while I had not met Don DeJulia prior to my interviews, I certainly knew who he was, you know, hard not to see his name, you know, in the papers and articles and have people talk about him, his reputation, you know, amongst the, you know, communities here in Philly is, I can't even describe it. So in those initial interviews between Don, Jim Brown, and then Renee Shields, who I met, you know, early on right away, it was one of my early meetings, you know, just feeling like there were three conversations where I knew right away the department was going to be a very family, personal oriented. It, you know, I didn't want to be at a place where it felt like it was a corporate business and you were just, you know, a name and a number. You know, and it's one of the things I talk about to recruits, because I talk about the fact that when you come here, you're never going to be in a class that's a 250 person English class where you're just seat number 47 to the professor. You're going to be in an environment that is much more one-to-one family. You know, that's who we are. So yeah, it's just really important to me to feel like I was in a department that felt like a family, that wanted to understand, you know, what's going on in our program, because we're a little bit weird, right? Rowan, you know, we've got all this equipment and crazy schedules and up in the morning, we don't always fit the mold of other NCAA sports. We're currently not a men's NCAA sport, even though we have our own national championship. So it's, you need people that really know and want to understand it.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Coach Mike Irwin here on the Coach's Corner podcast on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on the Coach's Corner podcast with St. Joseph's men's rowing head coach Mike Irwin. Coach, let's talk about your program. We just talked about the idea of the Hawk family, and a lot of programs have, you know, a credo, a motto, some sort of general ethos that they like to promote about their program. What word or phrase do you think best encompasses your program? And maybe it's family, maybe it's something about pulling together and you know, all for one, one for all. There's so many different things that the teams lean on. What do you think is the one that best encompasses your program, and why is it that that's important to you and your student athletes?
We have a team rule. It's our only team rule, and we call it the one team rule. That is not, it's more than just how we conduct ourselves. It's about who we are. And it's quite simply, bring honor to the program on and off the water in everything you do. And what I try and tell them is tell the athletes every time we talk about it. And when it's just one team rule, you know, I mean, literally, if I'm standing in a group right now and I go, what's our one team rule? Everyone can say it, right? There's no list of rules or 10 things they have to memorize. They know. And what I say to them is, listen, you know, and I'm not going to take credit for it. It's something I picked up along the way from another coach. And what I liked about it, and the thing that I go back to all the time with the athletes I coach, is to say, this is a guide for how you make decisions, how you think about things, right? I'm not going to give you a list of rules saying you can't do this, you can't do that. I said, the school has a lot of those already, right? The athletic department in the school about behavior, conduct, when it comes to things like that, right? It's why we have community standards. We have all those things and they obviously need to know them. But I said, if you're going about your way and you're thinking about, hey, does this bring honor to the program? Am I bringing honor to the program? Like, that's the measuring stick, you know? And if I have to have a conversation with someone about what's going on in their life or something maybe that they've done or not done, that's the measuring stick. And it allows me to encompass everything. And I learned it in some ways the hard way as a young assistant coach, you know, rules for this, rules for that. And then you sort of be, and then you'd have to like list out the consequences for each rule. And then it's everybody's trying to, you know, kind of interpret the letter of the law. And what I try and tell them is like, listen, it's about the spirit of the rule, right? It's not about having a rule for every situation. It's about having a rule that covers any scenario. And if we need to sit down and talk about it, you know, we can sit down and talk about it. And more importantly, you know, more than just sort of discipline and how we conduct ourselves, it's like how we race, how we train, you know, how do we do things in a way where we're bringing honor to the program, the way that we're accountable to one another, the way that we push one another, like always, you know, always trying to find a way to bring, you know, a good honor to the program. Right. And, you know, one of the things we do, and again, not an original idea, is each year we talk about the team in terms of what year in the program we are, right? What year in our history. So this year's team is Team 67. This is the 67th edition of men's rowing at St. Joseph's. And so every year is different, right? Each team has its own identity each year, even though there are things we try and, you know, retain or pass along from one year to the next. You know, the idea is that we're going to graduate some people, we're going to inherit some new people. And so how is, you know, Team 67 going to handle the challenge of pandemic, right? And how will this be different than Team 66 or 65 or there? So I think those things for us, you know, having that one team rule that we can always go back to, and we can, it's just never in doubt as to what it is, right? And then thinking about ourselves as this team, like everybody counts, from, you know, the almost 50 people we have on the roster, from 1 to 50, everybody's important. Everybody's pushing everybody. Everybody's, you know, sort of throwing in to sort of become the best possible Hawks we can be, right? And as far as student athletes. So that's the thing we go back to. I was, you know, it was easy for me, you know, to sort of, when you gave me the little bit of a sneak preview of what you wanted to talk about, to sort of look at that and go, there's my chance to talk about our one team rule and why it's so important to us.
Kind of lifting the curtain back and showing people kind of behind the scenes look at the pod. That's fine with me. Fine with me.
Don't want to give away the trade secrets.
So one of the other things that, you know, I mentioned as, hey, this is something that, you know, I want you to have the chance to talk about, is what kind of student athlete you think makes a good Hawk. And, you know, I understand that rowing has slightly different recruiting culture in that you often get a lot of folks on campus before they get involved with your program. So what kind of student athlete do you look for, whether it's a high school rower or a St. Joseph student that maybe has their head turned and is now interested in seeing if rowing's for them? What is it that you're looking for in a potential Hawk?
Recruiting for us really is sort of two parts or two phases. There's without question, recruiting those students that have high school experience, prior experience. And then there's the recruiting we do on campus to find athletes at St. Joe's that were involved in other sports in high school and are looking to be involved in a varsity program and still be involved in varsity athletics. But, you know, for example, for us, if they were a swimmer in high school and we don't have a swim team, they're searching for something. One of our captains a couple of years ago, Riley McGuinn, basketball player in high school, he was going to try and play JV basketball. You know, he knew he couldn't, well, it wasn't good enough to walk onto the team, but he came out for rowing because, you know, we found him and he just took off. You know, the fact that he went from walk on to captain. Riley, Dave Wong before him, same thing. Dave was a walk on. He's now one of our assistant coaches. You know, so recruiting for us is, you know, one, looking for athletes for, you know, and I mean that from the standpoint of they can't imagine themselves not being an athlete. They're going to train, do something. They've just happened to have chosen rowing, you know, if they did it in high school as their outlet for it. And not everybody's like that. There's some people that like to just work out, right? But the people that want to be athletes, and to me, that's find out what their limits are to compete against other athletes and success or fail, pick themselves back up and go do it again. You know, those are the people that you look for. Certainly when you've got someone who's been doing it in high school, the whole student athlete equation means they've found a way to balance being a successful student and a successful athlete. And then also success in personal life. To us, when we're recruiting, it's looking for the balance of those three things. Because to me, without it, if it's just two of the three, right? Like, and I say all books and boats, right? If when we're recruiting, if all that someone does is they're in the classroom or they're at the boathouse and they don't have any other outlets in their lives, they're probably going to kind of hit a wall somewhere and not in a good way, right? There needs to be balance in their life. So we're looking for, you know, those in high school that have figured out how to have that balance, because we know it's not as much as we want to train and do more and go faster. It's if they're not in balance, we're not going to be successful, right? They have to have other outlets other than rowing and being in class, right? And it just has to be, you know, kind of in balance, in check, right? They can't, you know, let one of them run away with the other. And so we're looking for those people first and foremost that can successfully balance that, because we feel if they can, no matter where they are in high school, they are going to get better at it in college, right? And we feel we have an environment, especially in talking about how we feel we've done really well with walk-ons here. And I know Gary Quinlan talked about it in his chat with you. We both feel very strongly that there are tremendous athletes at St. Joe's that just haven't been exposed to the sport. And if you can create the right environment, you're going to have people that really have a tremendous positive impact in your program. You know, Kevin Leslie, my other assistant coach, I can't believe I didn't mention Kevin. Kevin was a walk-on. He was a wrestler in high school. He's a local boy, just, you know, elected. He was our Commodore his senior year. It just, you know, again, just we have these success stories of people that have been tremendous athletes that have then found rowing later in life. And that's really also the nature of the sport. While there is a tremendous amount of rowing in high school, and it is growing in a lot of ways, in different areas of the country, a lot of people don't row. And a lot of the history of the sport, you know, Mike Tatey, prime example, basketball player, he didn't really row. Like his rowing was more, you know, in college than high school. He wasn't in, it's just, there are so many stories out there of people finding rowing later. And it's obviously rowing's really not the sport you can do in sixth grade when you're like the equipment. We're a sport that people find later in life, maybe middle school at the earliest. And then if you have rowing at your high school or you have a local club, and you might not, depending on where you're from. So, you know, we're looking for, you know, the best people we can find in our local area, right? Because Philadelphia is without question one of the greatest rowing communities in North America, if not the whole world, right? You know, it's an extremely unique rowing community. And so while there's a tremendous amount of rowing in the area in South Jersey and and sort of the local areas. There's so much great rowing around the country. You know, again, I'm from, you know, Buffalo and then Detroit in the Midwest. And we've got guys in the team from Texas and Florida and Boston and all over. So we're looking for, you know, also those people that don't know Philadelphia and really want to be part of this tremendous rowing culture and community that's here.
Suppose you have one of those high school rowers that really wants to row in college. What kind of advice do you have for them and their family to navigate, if I can use a boat term, to navigate the recruiting process? It can be very overwhelming for any student trying to apply to college and to pick a college, especially a student athlete balancing their sport with being recruited. What advice do you have for them and their families to deal with that process?
Couple of thoughts come to mind here. And one is make sure you're looking at schools for more than just the rowing. As much as you might think you're making an impression on a coach by being like, I'm all into rowing and rowing's my favorite thing. And I do it. I sleep rowing and I eat rowing. And that to me is an unbalanced, perhaps, student athlete. And what do you want to study? What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you graduate? Do you know? And granted, that's still for high school student athletes, that's still a really daunting and kind of sometimes overwhelming process, you know, to figure out what do I want? And so I try and talk to them about that, you know, figuring out what you want. You know, I talk about recruiting on some levels when we get the traditional, hey, it's summertime and I'm in Philadelphia and I'm doing a tour of schools and can I meet you at the boathouse and say hello? And they're doing what I call the bricks and mortar visit. What does the school look like? Where is it located? Is it big? Is it small? Is it right in the city? Is it outside the city? Is it out in the woods? Is it, and that helps them start to kind of get a sense of, you know, more than what they can see on a website. Okay, what's the bricks and mortar side of things? And then the thing we haven't been able to do this year because of the dead period in recruiting is the official visit part. Or even unofficial visits where they're coming in maybe and catching a practice and meeting the guys on the team, or maybe even catching a class, but maybe not doing the full overnight official visit. To me, that's the personality visit, right? Where they, you know, a high school student gets to interact with the current student body, professors, coaches, you name it, and they get a sense of the personality of the school. And, you know, in that sense, I encourage guys to do their homework, and they've got to try the best they can sort of do the bricks and mortar. They've got to get a sense of the personality. And, you know, they may start out with a big list, but it's, you know, what I say to them sometimes is, what don't you want? Right? Instead of asking them what they do want, what don't you want? What have you figured out so far that you don't want? You know, and that sort of helps start the conversation, right? Because I think a lot of times too, they're just, they want to talk, but they're unsure how to talk to you and they're nervous. And it's just, so to get them talking, it's just, what have you ruled out already, right? What do you know? Like, hey, I don't want to go to a 40,000 undergrad state school. Okay, right. So size is something that you encourage them to realize that if you start figuring out what you don't want, it'll, before you know it, you're going to figure out what you do want.
Right.
So that's one of my advices for the guys, you know, for the athletes themselves. And I think, again, it allows us to kind of start the conversation and not hopefully make the recruiting process of talking to the coach or interacting with the students one that's that overwhelming, because it's just, the idea is, the way I look at recruiting is it's our job to give them as much information as we can about what happens here. And then they've got to collect all their stuff and then sit down with the people that they trust and are their mentors and, you know, their coaches, their family, whoever it may be, their friends, and figure out, okay, what do I do with all this info? You know, and then how do I start to narrow my list down? And then, you know, how can we help you from there if we're on your short list, right? You know, if we're still on your short list, then we can kind of go deeper and talk at more length.
All right. The last thing we ask everyone, I'm not going to time you, but suppose you were somewhere and you got on an elevator and you were with a recruit and their family. You remember traveling and like elevators and people and everything?
Sure.
A relic of the past, I know, but suppose you were we're in an elevator. We always refer to it as the elevator pitch. You had 60 seconds to pitch St. Joseph's and your program to a prospective student athlete. What would you focus on? Like I said, I'm not going to ask you to give the 60-second spiel, but what are the one or two things that you think are most attractive about your program, about the university, that you think are most important to convey when you only have a brief opportunity to do so?
I'd start with the school itself. I'd describe St. Joe's to people that don't know it, especially since we're a lot more regionally known than we are nationally known. We're a city school, you know, Division I city school, but we're not in the heart of the city. We are on the edge of the city limits. We have our own very definable campus footprint where you know when you're on campus and when you're not. You know, I talk about what I believe is the Jesuit educational model, meaning we don't have 300 person classrooms where you're taking English 101 and you're one of, you know, you're just a number to that professor. Things are a lot more like what they're used to in high school. You know, 30 students, 20 students to a professor, you're going to get one-on-one interaction with that professor. So I start with that. I start with the school itself. And then when I go to rowing, I talk about the city of Philadelphia and the rowing community here. There's only one place in the US that comes even close, and that's Boston. And it's just not the same as rich as the tradition is on the Charles. You don't have this group of boathouses all clustered together at Boathouse Row, and then our facility and the spots up here on the race course, on our national race course. It is unique in and of to itself, right? And so anyone that's been involved in rowing and knows rowing certainly knows Philadelphia is one of the rowing hubs. And it's, again, one of the things for me when I was working at Penn or working at St. Joe's, just a huge, you know, a huge reason as to why I'm still here in Philly. And then I sort of would finish with the team itself. You know, Division I varsity program, we've got about 50 athletes on the team. We make no mistake about wanting to win Dadvale titles and go to the national championship every year. Right? That's our goal, right? How do we get our boats to the medal stand, you know, here at the Dadvale? And then how do we then qualify our team to go to a national championship? We want to be out there racing at the highest possible level. And as a Division I varsity program, we can do that, right? And not everybody can say that around the country in the different programs that are out there. So we're, you know, unique in that sense of, you know, being in that about 60 schools that are out there that have Division I men's, you know, or sort of varsity men's rowing, much less the smaller group of Division I. There's a large cluster of Division III, which is where I came from at Trinity. But so those are the things I hit on, right? You know, sort of the campus, the city, and just the culture of the program itself. You know, that would sort of be those three important things in a quick hit.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck as you guys start competing. The Dadvale Regatta will be here before you know it. Hopefully, we'll have some more people out there this year than we can right now. And hopefully, you'll have great weather and a great time. And Team 67 can have all the success in the world. Thanks for joining us.
Joe, thanks for having me. We're looking forward to it. April 5th, first race down at the Naval Academy. So stay on your social media feeds. We'll have it all for you.
That was St. Joseph's men's rowing head coach Mike Irwin, this week's guest on the Coach's Corner podcast on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sguhawks.com/podcasts.